It felt a bit like a personal failure, to be honest. I was young. I was always surrounded by people, by friends, but still felt lonely.
I was blown away that so many young people are affected.
Loneliness, a podcast to reconnect.
1 in 4 young adults often feels lonely, but too often our experiences remain invisible. That's why we started Loneliness, a podcast to reconnect. In this episode, we'd love for you to get to know us and our mission better, learn what to expect, and how to become part of this journey towards greater social connection. Thank you for being here, and welcome to Loneliness. Hi, Enya.
Hi, Leah.
Well, welcome to Loneliness, I would say,
Thank you. Our very
first episode.
It feels so weird to say it's the first episode because we've been working on this for so long. So what can people expect, maybe even before saying what your background is, what my background is, what is this podcast going to be about?
So I would say Loneliness will offer open conversations. We'll have experts from science, from practice, but especially also those from lived experience, sharing their experiences and perspectives and insights into those, well, different fields of loneliness and social connection. I'm saying this because obviously those topics are very complex and diverse, but in each episode we will choose a specific angle to look at and talk about this. For example,
loneliness and grief, social connection in big cities. But yeah, I think now I'm jumping forward too fast. Maybe let's go back to, who are you, Leah?
Hi, I'm Leah. I am one of your hosts here at Loneliness. I am also a medical doctor. I have worked in this field from different angles over those past years. First of all, through lived experience, but also my clinical work, research, teaching, and advocacy. And I am very happy to unite all of this here at Loneliness.
I'm just such a fan. I'm sitting here like, wow. But yeah, hi, I'm Enya. I'm an actress and producer. And I'm also really passionate about this topic, about social connection. My background is not medical. So I think the reason why I wanted to start something like this was also super personal, because last year I hit a point where I was super frustrated with everything going on in the world. In that, I felt pretty lonely. And then what kind of changed and what helped me a lot was just opening up about that to my friends, who people who I was close with or who I'm close with, to talk about how we are all, or many of us, feeling a bit overwhelmed with the world right now, and in that, a bit isolated from everything. And then I told my friend about it, a friend who's also your friend. And then she was like, do you know that Leah has just done a talk on social isolation? Maybe you guys should talk. I reached out to you. Oh, yeah, I think so. Here we are.
Here we are.
Almost a year later. What a journey.
What a journey it has been.
So, Leah, why did you start Loneliness?
I think I could talk about this forever, but to start from the beginning. So when I moved to Munich 8 years ago to start my medical studies, I felt profoundly lonely. I was young, socially connected in a way. I was always surrounded by people, by friends, even family, but still felt lonely. And that was really even like a surprising realization back at the time, because loneliness was something that I personally, and I think society at large, has rather associated maybe with older people or just, yeah, different groups of people, but not really those young, interactive, outgoing ones. And then the second was that I felt quite alone with this feeling of loneliness and disconnect. While I assumed that everyone surrounding me was having a good time, wasn't having any difficulties making connection and having that sense of belonging. And that also kind of contributed to this feeling of shame, because it felt a bit like a personal failure, to be honest. And therefore, it wasn't easy to open up about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Once I did, however, I quickly realized that I was absolutely not alone with this feeling,
mm-hmm.
and that so many of the people surrounding me were going through similar experiences and emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's so interesting also because I would have never thought that you felt lonely at times.
That was the ironic thing, because nobody had assumed that I was lonely, but I hadn't assumed the same of the others as mm-hmm. well. So we were all, you know, living in this world of thinking that we're the only ones struggling, while actually all of us were struggling. Now in hindsight, I also believe that these experiences have actually strengthened me in some ways, because they have taught me how relevant and precious this sense of belonging and deeper connection is,
mm-hmm.
and how you also have to invest in those and never take them for granted.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. I also think that a lot of people don't like to admit that they have moments of loneliness or moments in which they're missing some social connection or more friends or deeper friendships or whatever. And we are so ashamed to admit that, but then it doesn't get better. So I think there's nothing to be ashamed about. It's natural for us that we want to belong to a group. Mm-hmm. So from your medical perspective or background, how do we define loneliness? How do we define social connection? What are the differences?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is actually a very important question and very relevant to also find this common language when we speak about loneliness, social isolation, but also social connection. What is really important to me is to differentiate loneliness from being alone.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two absolutely different things. Loneliness is a subjective state. It's an unpleasant emotion that kind of derives from a discrepancy between those connections that you would like to have and those that you actually have. You are seeking a sort of connection that you're currently not having, and that can be both in a qualitative but also in a quantitative way, meaning that it can be one deep connection, for example, or it can be, seeking the belonging to a bigger social group. And social isolation, on the other hand, is an objective state in which a person has fewer connections than the average.
Mm-hmm.
That, however, doesn't necessarily have to correlate with loneliness, because again, mm-hmm. as we said, you can be alone or you can have few connections and be totally fine, or you can be surrounded by so many but feel lonely.
One thing that I find so interesting is that so many young people are affected. Because as I said, I think most of us don't assume that other people are maybe experiencing moments of loneliness. But then when we looked at the statistics, mm-hmm. I was blown away that young people are so affected. Because to be honest, I was a bit biased, because when I think of loneliness, the first thing that pops into my mind is elderly people.
Mm-hmm.
I was so shocked that young people are also so, so affected.
Absolutely. And you are not the only one. And I think society at large still mostly, I think, has this association of loneliness rather with older people.
Yeah.
And really not so much with those younger generations. But we really have the data and the statistics today that underline how younger generations are actually most affected by loneliness. So the numbers, they differ a bit depending on which statistics you're looking at. But I will be referring to the recent report published by the World Health Organization, the WHO, in June of this year, so June 2025. And they have assessed that 1 in 6 people globally is affected by loneliness. And again, young people are most highly affected. In Germany, the numbers even indicate that 1 in 4 young adults are often lonely. And those are really like striking numbers.
Mm-hmm. How does the COVID pandemic play into that? Or was that conducted after?
the COVID pandemic has definitely put a lot of attention to this topic, which I think all of us can understand why that was. But it's also important to say that loneliness has been a challenge even before that. So we definitely also have the data from before the pandemic, and we see that it has already been there and has already been there on a high level. But in some sense, the pandemic really brought a lot of attention to the topic, which I think we really needed. And through that, I think also young people have become kind of the center of focus in some ways.
One of the first things that pop into my mind right now is obviously social media. So how does that affect? I mean, I bet it does. Or do we have data already on how social media affects the feeling of loneliness?
We actually have a whole episode on that topic with Alex Quattroni from Neighborly Lab, who has conducted research in that field. So I will not spoil too much. But what I can say is that we certainly need more research into that field. And it's not really simple to draw conclusions right now. And if we look at the data from the past, well, years and decades, it's not easy to really correlate an increase of loneliness with introduction of certain technologies, smartphones, social media. So I think it would be too easy to say that young adults are lonely because of social media, etc. Yeah. I think it's a lot more complex. And also social media these days can bring benefits to people in ways of, well, fostering connection and just new opportunities to connect. So I'd say tune into our episode with Alex to find out more about this very complex topic also.
But yeah, it makes sense. I mean, thinking about like what actually is the feeling of loneliness and a sense of belonging. And I bet like for many people, maybe they're living in a town with 200 people and they feel so lonely because they don't feel like they belong there. They might find people they can relate to better on the internet.
We also have an episode on loneliness in the city where we'll talk about how urban and rural environments shape our feeling of loneliness and connection. It's not just a saying when we say that humans are social beings, but actually social connection really is a central component to our well-being and our health. There is striking data that shows, for example, that the lack of social connections increases mortality in a similar way as smoking 14 cigarettes a day does.
Wow.
That's crazy.
14 cigarettes. That's crazy.
Yeah. The message I want to send out here, however, is not start smoking, but rather invest into your connections because they matter. Social connection really isn't just this nice thing to have, but it's so, so essential. And I want to highlight this here again, that we do have a lot of evidence on the relevance of social connection for our well-being, for our health, both physical and mental. But social connection is also so important in how we interact and it shapes our communities and societies. And that also impacts policy, basically, and how we elect and how our society works again. And therefore, policymakers and governments around the world have started to acknowledge the importance of social connection and have started to put this on the political agenda. All of this really now puts a lot of attention to the topic, which I think is needed. And apart from that, I think we need the conversation. So that's what we're having here.
I think maybe now is a good time that because I wanted to ask you about the social connection festival kind of symposium that you organized. We got to record some of the first episodes of this podcast at a symposium that you co-organized. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So first of all, I love that you call it a social connection festival. And I think we should definitely put this on the agenda for any upcoming event that we're organizing. It was a symposium on loneliness and social connection that was conducted as part of a theme week on those topics that was funded by the Volkswagen Foundation. I had the pleasure to co-organize this event together with amazing colleagues of mine. First of all, Dr. Alma Sophia Merscher. She is a psychologist and postdoctoral researcher at the LMU in Munich and really conducts her research in the field of loneliness. She is also supporting us with the scientific expertise on this podcast.
Hi, Alma.
Hi, Alma. And we'll also have her as one of our guests soon. So definitely stay tuned for that. And at this point, I also really want to thank Alma for all the amazing work that she put into this symposium, and also that she initially reached out to me and that we went on this journey together. So just a little shout out here. And then that was also with Professor Dr. Klaus Vögele from the University of Luxembourg, Dr. Matthias Reinhardt from the LMU in Munich, and Harry Hobson from Neighbourly Lab in UK. And the goal was really to foster an interdisciplinary exchange and also collaboration on this, well, broad topic, basically. And therefore, we invited experts from science, practice, policy, but also lived experience, and came together for this really intensive exchange and discussions. And I'm so happy, Enya, that you were there as well, and that we got to really conduct our first interviews. What was your impression, actually, of that festival?
It was great. So thank you again that I got to be there. No, it was a great experience, and I thought it was just so inspiring how there are so many great people putting so much work and effort and love to detail into really taking action. I think it was a great example for starting projects and not just stopping there.
I agree. I think it was also a very inspiring experience for me, like coming together with people from such different backgrounds. And towards the end, we all agreed on this fact that we really need to communicate, and we also need to communicate our findings and thoughts outside of the box. And so I think this podcast really also is one means of communicating all these different perspectives. So Enya, what can our listeners expect from Loneliness Season 1?
What can we expect? So we did many great interviews with people with experts from science, from practice. So for example, as you already mentioned, we have a really nice episode with Professor Dr. Master Adli about big cities and social connection. Then I had a really beautiful talk with Bianca Neumann, who is the clinical director at Sue Ryder. That's a nonprofit organization in the UK. They're supporting people who are grieving, and we talked about the loneliness of loss. And that was such a warm and beautiful episode. I really enjoyed it. Then we have a beautiful conversation with my friend Paulina, who moved from Mexico City to Berlin, about how she found connection that starting a new life on so far away from her hometown. We have an episode. I don't want to spoil too much.
Don't spoil everything.
You'll see on the list of episodes maybe which subjects resonate with you. I'd say I hope you enjoy the first season of Loneliness. And also, maybe you have something in mind that you would love to hear more about on this podcast, certain angles of social connection or loneliness. So say hi, drop them in the comments. We're also on TikTok, on YouTube, obviously on YouTube, on Instagram, on LinkedIn. So reach out there. And I think that's it for our introduction episode. Leah, do you want to wrap something up?
I really enjoyed recording this episode with you, Enya, and all the work that we put into this. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this first episode of Loneliness, and see you in our next one.
I'm Enya.
I'm Leah.
And this is Loneliness.